When migrants come to work in this country, many of them send some cash or remittances back home. In 2012, Mexican migrants sent more than $22 billion back to Mexico. These remittances usually go to help their families, but many immigrants are also saving up their remittance dollars, usually between $200 to $300 a month, for their return to their home countries. Take Jaciel Lucas, for example. He's a taxi driver for Uber in Manhattan. He's been in the U.S. for 25 years. Jaciel wanted an American-style home for his retirement in the Mexican state of Hidalgo. So he went to the suburbs outside of New York City, and he took some pictures of the houses there. He gave the pictures to an architect and built a dream house in Hidalgo. Jaciel says it takes up the space of one New York City block. It has 7 rooms and an American-style 2-car garage. And it has a huge yarda, which is Spanglish for yard, where his family gathers for barbecues. His house is worth over $25,000. Sarah Lynn Lopez is a professor of architecture at the University of Texas at Austin. And in her book, The Remittance Landscape, she looks at the way migrants and the remittance dollars are changing the architectural landscape of Mexico. Sarah, welcome to Latino USA.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So, Sara, you got interested in remittances and what you call remittance architecture while you were working, in fact, at a small cafe in Berkeley, California. So what happened?
Yeah, I worked with a couple of Mexican migrants who had been living in the Bay Area for many, many years. And through informal conversation that we had in the kitchen, it became clear to me that they were building homes in Guanajuato, in their hometown. And I wondered, why are you building homes in Mexico if you live here in the Bay Area? And that basically started me on this path of investigating migrants, Mexican migrants specifically, who invest the money or some portion of the money they make here in the United States in building either a dream house in Mexico or contributing to other projects in Mexico.
There are some amazing photographs in your book. The cover has this fabulous picture of a pretty typical Mexican home with a courtyard and a fountain. But inside this fountain is a small-scale Statue of Liberty. So just tell me about this place and why you call this a remittance home.
Antonio Rodriguez is the migrant who has lived in the United States for several decades and who built that house. It's in a small town called Pagueros. When you go into this house, then, you see this Statue of Liberty that was carved out of a local limestone, and he personalized it. So instead of Lady Liberty's face, it's the face of his mother. On her tablet is his birth date, and at her feet, the chains that near Ellis Island are broken here remain intact. And he, you know, used all of this imagery to really symbolize his journey and his interpretation of his experiences of migration, his gratitude to what the United States had given him, and also his reflections on where Pagueros, the people of his town, were, which is why he actually chose to keep those chains intact.
So you have this other photograph. It looks, I think it's kind of like a before and after of a kitchen. And the before kitchen looks like a pretty typical working class kitchen in Mexico, kind of haphazard, no cupboards. But right next to it, though, you have, you know, the after kitchen, which could be pretty much any kitchen in suburban middle America.
You know, what you're actually seeing there is two kitchens that were built that exist side by side in that house.
So they built two kitchens in the same house?
That's right. So it's even more what you're thinking, you know, which is basically the first kitchen, the one that has all those pots and pans, and you imagine the smell of that delicious food. That kitchen was built with slightly more permanent materials, although they kept it basically the same as the kitchen had been when they were all kids. And it was after they finished that, they thought, no, let's try again. And right next to it, they built the one that you're talking about that looks like any suburban home in the USA with the kitchen cabinetry. And clearly, the mother's made her choice about which one she wants to use.
And architecturally, it must be a lot of fun for you because there's one photograph of a home that has, I'm not sure what it is, an onion dome?
An onion dome?
Right. So it's something that you might see like in Moscow or at the top of a mosque, but it's white, it's gold embroidered, but it also has garage doors right underneath this.
In Tepatitlan, the architect was taking me on a tour of the city, and he said, well, this client's request was basically just build me something that makes me stick out. I don't really care what, I just want it to be special and unique. And it was the architect who came up with the onion dome theme for that house. But of course, as you say, also slipping in there that very suburban modern amenity that we, you know, associate with the streets of our cities, which is the garage door. But they don't, in many of these pueblos, need them. There's plenty of street parking. There's not a culture of parking in your house in that way. So it's being built for different reasons.
So does anyone actually live in these houses that are built by people that are living in the United States?
It's an amazing spectrum of inhabitation to total abandonment to living in those houses part-time or in very interesting arrangements.
So in some ways, this is about, I have my money, I've saved this, I sacrificed, I went to the north, and I essentially want to show my family and my community that it was worth it.
That it was worth it, that I've succeeded, that there are still open possibilities for different future alternatives, right? So once you build the house, maybe you will return. That hope is nested somewhere. But it is interesting the extent to which the dream is incomplete because the people who are building the homes aren't often then living in them.
And it's not just individual houses. Migrants also come together and they pool their dollars for public projects in communities, right? Like this really beefed up stadium for like a local rodeo.
Absolutely. And it really, it's amazing what migrants are building when they pool their resources collectively and send money to these more public or sometimes commercial projects. The rodeo arena, the one that I feature, is one that is a dramatic transformation from what had existed before. So the rodeo arena that they were able to build, though, as they put it, really puts them on the map. It is of state-of-the-art quality, and it is a rodeo arena that is referencing in some ways the kinds of arenas you'll see in Guadalajara or in Mexico City or even in certain places in Los Angeles.
And actually, Sarah, it's your book talks not just about homes for people who are living, but how this is affected even in the cemeteries. So you have these photographs of what I imagine was the town cemetery, pretty simple white crosses, maybe some flowers. And then next to that, you have a photograph where you have built-up structures. In this case, it looks like
like the mausoleum, but it's sort of a more informal one, right?
Right, right. But it's clearly different from a simple wooden cross.
Right. And that's partly why I think of this as a remittance landscape, because you see these little capillas or these little mausoleums that are being built by migrant families who want to be buried in Mexico, in their hometown, in the place where they still most associate, in a place that, according to them, a lot of them say is in their hearts, regardless of how many years they've spent in places like Chicago and Los Angeles.
Sarah, thank you so much for all of your work and for speaking to us. It's been great.
Thank you so much.
Sarah Lynn Lopez is a professor of architecture at the University of Texas at Austin. Her book is called The Remittance Landscape, Spaces of Migration in Rural Mexico and Urban USA. And you can find a great selection of photographs from her research at latinousa.org.